Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope y'all are having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us here. Wednesday afternoon show. We got James with you. And, of course, Michael Comer sitting in with.
How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, man. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to take some of your calls. Hit us in the numbers. 715-424-2600. We hope you can make the time. Call us. Join us with your sports takes and feelings. For those that don't know, keeping a sports take in too long can be bad for your health. It can be. You got to let that out. You got to go ahead and let people know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. We want to hear from you. Go ahead and hit us up. I want to say a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring the hour. It's fun to be with you guys here on a Wednesday afternoon. Michael and I are going to get into some local schedule in our sports we got coming up for you in the next couple of weeks. If you don't mind, I want to rewind to kick things off right away, Michael. You had a long one the other day.
Yeah, that season opening doubleheader rapid softball against Eau Claire North. Baby, oh baby, that was a fun one. I felt bad, good old pro, the chief yes. officer here at WFHR, WRRI, Chuck Gennaro. Mm-hmm. He was running the board for that one, and I know he had other things he probably wanted to do than sit for 6 hours for softball, but that first one, not it goes, seven innings is regulation, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, almost 13 innings, and Rapids gets that win. First game was over about 3 hours, and then 20-minute break, and then Rapids goes and wins it in seven innings in the second one to sweep the doubleheader, but... Man, that was something.
It's a heck of a way to kick off the season. It was a great work by you guys. Glad your voice held up well. I think it did, at least.
I just got hungry, and by the end of that first game, like, God, there better be a bathroom around here.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. Nice work by both of you guys, and a big appreciation to you, Chuck, bringing that coverage to us. Of course, our sponsors and all of you guys out there for listening. It was a great game. Great to hear. Certainly, I'm a little biased as a Lincoln alum. I'll admit that, but I did enjoy the game, and I got to say something else too. And I didn't get a chance to talk to anybody about this, but I know that my dad was feeling it, not just with hearing you guys, but also hearing some baseball on the radio. Just feels good to hear baseball on the radio again. We are looking forward to that, bringing you some high school coverage. We'll talk more about that in a bit, and of course, Rafter baseball right here at WFHR, where it belongs. Looking forward to that season kicking off.
And then, of course, I guess the other, I'd be wrong if I didn't mention it, Lincoln High School does have a new football coach today. They announced that that'd be Mike Krenz is the head coach. He had been jumping around for for quite a while, according to the press release from Lincoln High School. Sent to me first thing this morning.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And certainly, I don't know this man. I'm not going to pretend to know who this is or anything. But I'll be honest, hearing that he's a Lincoln alum immediately gives me some positive vibes. I think that's good.
From what I know of him, assistant coach at Wausau West for 10 years, Stevens Point for 9 years, and most recently an assistant football coach at UWSP for 2. He was the interim head coach at Spash during the 21-22 football season. He has spent the last 8 years working in special education department at Spash, and he will be joining the WRPS staff next school year. I guess that year he went 7-4, lost in, I think, the first round of the playoffs by a point, I think, to Chi-Hi. So he's, he knows how to win. I don't know anything about how he, what type of offense or defense he likes to run.
Right.
But what I do know is he should be competitive.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be different if he doesn't run an option. It's going to be really weird to see Rapids not running an option offense for the first time since before Kenny Beagle.
Yeah.
Which is weird for me to say that because that's all I know.
Our generations, that's all we've known,
I mean, I can follow a wishbone, broken bone, flex bone offense, triple option, so much easier than I can follow a wing tee. I have no idea where the heck the ball is going in a wing tee.
Yeah.
And that's how, like when Coach Hilber and Becker and Coach Baker and Nakusa, when they're running that wing tee or whatever variations of it, I don't know where the ball is. I can't figure out that misdirection, the counters, the whatever. I can't figure it out.
Especially when these kids get some chemistry and they get it really down.
Like when Baker played, I I don't know where the stupid ball is. And that's one thing that I'm going to have to get used to, is maybe not knowing where the ball is at Lincoln.
So I like that he's got the reps. I like that he is a Lincoln alum. That always not only gives you points with the fan base, but recruiting-wise or just in the general of, okay, so what motivates a human being, and what makes a human being bring out the best in them and everything? Yeah. And there's certain things that just do more. For some people, it's the money. For some people, it's security and having a long contract. And other people, it's a number of factors. But one of the main things that we see, especially in coaching, is a guy getting to coach at his alma mater.
Now, I'm not sure if he went to Lincoln. I don't know.
I thought you had said that. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said that. Oh.
Nope. I know he had coached at Wausau West and Spash.
I take it all back. But I will say that is an interesting angle in coaching. When a guy gets to do that, but regardless whether he's a Lincoln alum or not, or Assumption, I don't care where he went to high school.
Well, he's just moving down the river.
He's got a nice resume there, and somebody that seems to me hungry, seems motivated to so that right away, that was where I was going to land on it, was motivation. You know, and that seems like a great thing to be coming in. I'll have to try to get him on the air, talk to him a little bit.
Oh, that'd be great.
Get to know him a little bit, as well as get to know what's up, what he might be doing offensively, defensively. Coaching staff, all those things. And I really do want to get to know and talk with our high school coaches more, especially in football and in basketball. And not to favor those sports, but only because of the NIL landscape and so many of these things that are going on nowadays. And I'm curious to know, we talked about this a little bit last week with some other coaches and everything. And on Monday, Randy and I were talking a little bit about with it. It's something that whether you want to talk about it or not, it's going to come up.
Yes.
And I'm curious to know, you know, how these coaches are dealing with it. I have no feelings on it one way or the other. I'm not at all here to sit, you know, pound the desk for one thing or another.
Right.
My thing is mostly just curiosity and information and wondering, well, how are you handling this? How are you taking, you know, because the other part of this is, in asking these questions, is the art of journalism and finding out so that everybody knows and so that nothing too mischievous is going on.
Yep.
There's that, too. And not to say that there would be, especially at this level, but...
You never know.
You don't know unless you ask. You know,
those are the legit questions.
The definition of my dating life. I don't know unless you ask, unless you try.
Yeah. What's the worst thing they're gonna tell you? No, call the police.
Yeah,
spray you with mace. I don't know.
Yeah,
even though I got a good friend of mine who was out for a late night run once, and he was just jogging and scared a lady, and she got maced. Just it wasn't anything malicious. It was just he scared her, and that was a fun. He still gets a lot of little jokes about that.
I can only imagine, man. and you know, that's one of those ones you can't really blame anybody. You just gotta kind of take the loss. Just take the loss up with great information. Thank you so much for bringing that to us.
No problem.
And again, we'll follow up on that one and see where that leads. A couple of things I wanted to get to before we end the first segment here. Coastal Carolina is the first FBS team to offer free game concessions. And part of this is it's Coastal Carolina. And you know, they're looking to certainly bring people over there and make sure that they want to watch these games and what's going to bring fans to the stadium and some of that. But it's also something that apparently has been a thing in other stadiums, just not really covered very much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a... Feast for free is kind of the mantra that they're using with it. And I don't mind it at all, but I don't know if you know what you're getting, you know, yourself into here.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that.
I mean, this is asking, this is Homer Simpson going getting all you eat can buffet. And like knocking them out of business. Like isn't around anymore.
Oh, no. This is the old 96er.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
The only thing left on there is gristle and fat.
It's not a bad idea. I'm always interested in marketing ideas and how people are trying to reinvent the wheel and how people are trying to get people to come to these games as we're getting more and more attached to not only our phones and our laptops and everything, but our TVs again. Cable's making a bit of a push. Streaming services are getting so many more of these games, and MLB just talking about that with some of their contracts being announced recently. All this is leading somewhere, I promise, because what I wanted to get to was the So Major League Baseball has had a rash of big signings. One of them just happening right before we went on the air. Kendall Marte, D-backs, second baseman.
Okay.
Very good player. Just signed a $116 million extension through 2031. Earlier this morning, while Seth and I were talking, in the middle of it, Jackson Merrill, the great rookie for San Diego,
yeah,
signed an 8-9 year deal.
I got that on my phone this morning when I woke up.
Last year, Jackson Chourio, I think almost before he even really had a real game or anything like that, signs an extension
huge
and everything.
Numbers. Yeah.
We're seeing this, a rash of this, a lot of this. And I'm not saying that there's any like call for alarm, but I will say that owners don't usually do things like this for the players' benefit or the fans' benefit. So no. I do wonder what's coming around the pipeline, or do players know something that we don't? I know that there has been, Seth has mentioned before that the, 2026 or 2027, I think he said that's when, we may see a strike. He's not the only one I've heard say that. I've heard Buster Olney say something along those lines as well. So I don't know if that is
happening. I've heard a little bit about that too.
You know, it also could be, hey, I just want to lock up these young talents. And oftentimes, especially we see in football, if I could sign you to a bigger deal, maybe I got some more wiggle room in the salary cap.
Yep.
It's obviously not a problem in baseball, but all these owners, there may not be a salary cap in baseball, but different owners definitely have a cap.
Yep.
Different owners definitely like, I'm not spending any more than this, i.e. Milwaukee.
In that case, that's kind of a dunce cap.
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yes. Oh, well said. Well played. So I don't know. That's just something I'm keeping my eye on with these contracts, and if it leads somewhere, and if a year from now, a month from now, we're like, oh, that's why all these big deals are going on, something like that. And as long as we're talking baseball, do we, as a sports show, do we have to talk about the torpedo bats? Is that like mandatory, or has everybody talked that to death by now?
You know, I'll tell you what. I mean, I make no secret my allegiances in baseball, and. You know, I got kind of tired in a group chat with some of my friends. First off, they were extremely upset that Milwaukee just got pummeled so bad by the Bronx Bombers. They lived up to their name. Okay,
yeah.
they did 15
yeah.
home runs in three games. Good night, Irene. That's the end of that. But sitting there and saying, those are illegal bats, they're cheating, the Yankees are cheating, blah, 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 blah. You know what? They were MLB approved. And the way I understand the history of those torpedo bats, it just so happened to be a former Yankees assistant coach who happens to be a physics.
He's a genius.
Yes,
he's like an MIT genius.
Yep. So you can literally do anything within the parameters that MLB has set up, and he used it. And if now it's not, and I know there's some other players in the league that are going to it, and if it puts more wood in the area of the bat that's a sweet spot for that individual player, and granted it's different for every player with reach and height and wingspan and arm span, everything like that, muscular structure, because that's different too, like a fingerprint. I don't see what the problem is. If I hate the expression, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But if you can manipulate the rules to work it that way, and it's still legal, which it is, I can't in good conscience say they shouldn't be allowed to do it. It's like the tush push, for example.
A perfect segue. I think that's perfect, and a great comparison. I think you hit it on the head for me, especially with the oldest sport, professional sport, and not the tagline for baseball, but the underline for baseball is if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, or what mm-hmm. have you. As old as somebody has been throwing a baseball, somebody's been putting some spit on it. Like yep. there's always, and it's not as if the Astros were the first ones to cheat, or the Chicago White Sox,
right.
or any of these things.
Right.
With this, it's to me, it's a pick your battles kind of thing. So much like if they're going up there with cricket bats, bats,
yep.
that might be a little bit different. But this was, if they're walking up there, they're approved.
Yep.
So to me, and on the other side of this, Giancarlo Stanton said it hurt him. Like, he's not using him because he got injured using it.
Yep.
So there's going to be that too. Ellie De La Cruz, I thought, put this really good, especially for a young player. It doesn't matter how good the bat is if the guy doesn't have the eye. It's the old argument about steroid users and everything.
Like what Mark McGwire said, it maybe got me bigger, but you know what? it didn't help me see the ball any better. Good. And I mean, even when he was off the juice, he was still crushing the ball.
Nothing can replace the eye.
Right.
Nothing can replace being able to pick yep. that half a second yeah. decision and when to hit that ball. Oh, those things.
Half a second's too slow, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a fool's argument to me to complain about these not being fair or not. If MLB allowed them, then they're fair.
Yeah.
And my question only would be my bigger question with this is, why is this a story we're only finding out after the Brewers get whooped? Like, where was the journalism? Where was the reporting on this? These bats stand out. These bats are not small. Like,
no, they're
and
huge.
It's not. I mean, I'm not even putting all this on the reporters. It's no. more of like them taking so much reporting away from baseball, more and more away from baseball. And like, good reporters out there would cover something like this in spring training. We didn't hear about this in spring training.
Well, everyone's too busy about free agencies
yeah.
and possible trades and maybe relocation of programs.
That's not
and
news,
expansion.
You know?
They're more worried about that than the actual thing you will see every stinking day of the season.
All the hoopla on this, I feel like we could have gotten through already before opening day.
Yes.
Even. And we should have. I think that in a lot of this that's being covered right now, even today I'm seeing stories about it.
Yeah.
It's them trying to almost cover their bases here. It really, like, oh, we should have been calling this the whole time, but let's just overdo it now, and that way it'll even out.
Yeah.
They should have been covering this. We should have known yeah. about this already. And, you know, if I am a manager, if I am a front office, I'm having every one of my players try one of these bats if they want to. If they don't, that's fine. You know, going back to Roy Hobbs and everything, I mean, players have their special bat. They have that special connection with
yeah.
the bat. If they want to give this a try and see if they can start a new relationship, I'm all right with that. If they're good with what they're doing, I'm fine with that, too. This game is way too mental. To go throwing things out there or anything like that. I don't know why we're we have to be so quick to just bash something. Where I'm more interested in the questions of why aren't more people using it? What is the longevity of this? Because if you know anything about baseball, we've all seen great rookie pitchers, and none of us remember their names because yeah. they got found out. They got yeah. you know the next time
Michael Wacha.
Yes. Oh, good example. When the scouts got out there, the next time they saw them, the next game or whatever. That stuff wasn't working. I think pitchers are smart enough. They're going to figure out things around this maybe.
Yep.
Maybe. So that's baseball 101. Yeah. They've been doing this. It's sports.
It's like sign stealing.
It just doesn't seem like that. It seems like also low-hanging fruit. Like, what's the easiest answer to the Yankees doing this? Instead of, even including some friends of mine and everything that are Brewer fans, getting mad at the Yankees, why don't you get mad at the front office of the Milwaukee Brewers? Why don't you get mad at them not having enough arms in the bullpen?
Yep.
Why don't you have enough, like, okay, injuries happen. Everybody knows they're going to happen. That's why you got a farm system.
Yep.
How's that farm system looking?
Yep.
Why couldn't you have somebody ready for this? This is a smart management team. This is a team that I think has proven benefit of the doubt that they make good decisions. That you don't win titles for nothing.
No.
Division titles.
Right.
Show it. Show it to us. You know, don't go blaming the bats when it's the arms. The Yankees weren't doing this to every single team, aren't going to go do this to every single team. They're going to do this to bad arms. They're not going to do this to Zach Wheeler.
Right.
They're not going to do this to certain pitchers.
Right. It's like kind of the expression, you don't slaughter your hogs to watch the fox come in and steal your chickens.
Right.
You go after the fox. So don't be mad at the Yankees for using something that is legal. Be mad at maybe the scouting, developing the technical, the equipment aspect of it, the management aspect of your team, and be mad at that.
I will take any chance to dive on the Yankees. I have no problem with
Who
that.
Doesn't?
No problem. But only when it really works, when it fits. I don't like beating up on a guy that's already on the ground. I'm not going to do that. Like,
no.
They didn't do anything wrong here. I'll save it for when they do. Like when they're crying about the Dodgers spending too much money. Like that's hilarious.
Exactly.
That's funny. I want to send a shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks and the shooting performance they had last night. Greatest single game field goal percentage since 1998.
Here, I thought you were just going to say you're going to give them a shout out because they actually won a game.
Yeah, that too. That too. You know, I mean, that is pretty much where I'm going with this. Like, okay. Hey,
all right. All right. I was wondering, but
at this point in the season, when you're number two, when your Robin is out, and you're not exactly in 1-2 in position in the in
yeah
the,
you got Alfred are, there instead of Robin,
right, you know? Right, you got things a little shaky as and with the front office, Giannis, all of these things, aging superstar, all of these factors, it would not shock me to see Milwaukee be Philly and phone it in or be New Orleans and put their stars on IR or something like that. Instead, I give Doc Rivers credit. I give that coaching staff and those players credit for going out there and hustling and working and trying. That's all you can ask of a player. And they're showing it in the last couple of games where even if a win, even in a loss, they're playing well. That those percentages are there. The rebounding's not where you need it to be, especially with they got bodies. They got trees on that team. They got guys that can rebound, including one of the greatest two-way players we've seen in a very long time in the Deer. The literal deer that is, you know, masquerading as a human being in Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's a deer. That's a deer right there. Mm-hmm. That's a human deer. There's no way you can convince me a human being can take two steps and get to the rim. I don't know how he does that.
That's from the other baseline.
That's, yeah. As long as I'm talking about it, though, and the story of Giannis Antetokounmpo, I do think this is going to be an interesting offseason. Because I'm curious where people land on this one. And I think there's a sweet spot here with Giannis where, you know, most fans, plenty of kids got his jersey. A lot of people love him. Nobody was naming their dog Giannis. Nobody was naming their firstborn Giannis like Brett or Aaron or something like that. So the attachment to him is not what it is with some legends of Wisconsin.
Right.
That said, the man brought a title to the city, to the state. And is by hands down one of the greater athletes any of us has seen over a long enough stretch where I think it's fair to say he's probably walking into the hall. He should get his speech ready.
He better be.
And one of the funnest athletes to watch. Yeah. And you know, I know that there's been some rumblings here and there or whatever. Pretty good guy. We haven't. Where's the complaints? Where's the controversies or anything like that? I know, yeah. You know, wanting to get players here and some of that. Yeah. That's business. So be it. That's business. That's different. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where fans fall on. Hey, we want him even in his 40s, or no? Let's take what we can get. Let's go ahead and just go ahead and get some draft picks, or you know, Chris Middleton back. I don't know. I'm curious where fans will fall on that one.
It's like that with any fan favorite. Yeah, Brett Favre when he was going to be leaving, going to the Jets and everything else. Let's get what we can. No, we keep him. He's the reason why we are where we're at now. No, let's get what we can for him. Same with Aaron Rodgers. How about we go another one? Goldschmidt in St. Louis. Well, he's doing all right with the Yankees. St. Louis isn't doing too bad to start the first six games of the season. Arenado, well, they can't move him, but he's playing well for him.
Yeah.
So it's just you have that in every group. No, we should get rid of him and get something good for him. No, we need to keep him until he's in the casket and we're burying him. Come on. You know.
Yeah, it's such a debate.
It is. It is.
I will say, comes up, Aaron. At first I thought he was holding this long to sign a deal, in part obviously for the attention. Let's put that aside. Yeah. We all know how much he wants the attention.
I don't know how much it is the attention anymore.
Yes, thank you. Because the other part of this was, well, he's also, whether we like to admit this or not, he's a smart man. He is a smart human being. I'm not calling him a genius or anything like that. And way too many times in his life, he thinks he's the smartest person in the room. And that's, even if he's right, he's wrong.
Yeah.
He's wrong in the way his direction, his approach, talking down to people, all of that. His people skills he needs to go back to college.
Yes.
He's always needed help with that. Now, it was charming when he was winning and he's telling you to RELX and all that. It's charming then when he's talking to you like that, but it's not as charming when he's talking to, you know, tinfoil hats and stuff. The thing about him doing this I thought was smart and strategic, and well, I'm not going to be Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to sign a big deal, and then in the draft, they just go and draft my replacement, and I'm sitting here looking over my shoulder the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. I don't have any issue with him on that strategy, if that's what he was doing. But I'm starting to wonder more and more if it's just him dragging this out until he does finally retire, and he can start a podcast. And when he does, there are two names he could possibly go with that I think are the only names he can go with, where it's the Relax Podcast, and he spells it out, and he leans into that, or the A.A. Ron Podcast, and just gets Keenan Michael Key to be, you know, do the pod with him or something like that, and leads into it that way. But this will all end with a podcast. I promise you that. I guarantee that.
What I need to do is copyright however many ways you can use the A.A. Ron, so like he has to pay me for it. I need to do that, too. Just like I'm pretty sure I coined the term, and I love Eddie Lacy, but I think I coined the term Cheeseburger Eddie, and that's coming from a big guy making a comment about another guy being a big guy, and that's, I don't know how many people I hear, hey Mike, weren't you the guy that started calling him Cheeseburger? Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
So many missed opportunities in my life.
That's one of them. That is one. I'm going to have to, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Oh, man.
Speaking of Packers running backs, or former ones, that is, A.J. Dillon signed with Philly, it looks like.
Good for him.
I didn't know if we got really a chance to mention that, so I just wanted to throw that out there as long as we were talking a little Packers there.
Hate seeing him go, but, you know, he's a great guy. I don't know, you know, good player, but even better person, and the quality person he is and what he did for Green Bay, Brown County, Door County, everywhere around there. Stinks to see him go, but he's got to do what's right for him. This is a business. This is his field of work. He's got to do what's right for him.
I am not putting him on this level talent-wise or certainly collegiate-wise or anything like that, but I'm hoping for a bit of a Ron Dayne situation for him, where his second team or his second act, you know, he's 26. This next 3-4 seasons or whatever he has until possible retirement are pretty good ones for him.
Yeah.
I think that way too many people just look at the end game, you know, the career stats of Ron Dayne and don't understand he had many moments in the NFL that were very good.
Thanksgiving game against Dallas when he was in Houston, or was it Denver?
No, it was Denver.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
He did play for Houston.
He did, yeah, and maybe it was Houston now. I remember him so much as a Giant, too, but that's a good game.
I remember watching that at my grandma and grandpa's when it was during deer season, and I think we had gotten a deer or two deer, whatever it was, and I remember that game being on there, and Ron Dayne went and just ran all over Jerry's boys, and boy, that was fun to watch.
I never got to be in the same room as Barry Sanders, but being around Ron Dayne and seeing, like, that to me is what
he's
I would imagine.
Nice guy.
Almost too humble. Almost too, if a person can be, that man is almost too humble in a way. Just like similar to Barry Sanders and some of that. It was a lot of fun to watch. Michael and I will be back with more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Michael and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. A thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring this hour for us and letting us hang out with you. We're enjoying this a lot, you guys, and we really appreciate you buying local, supporting local, supporting what we do around here and promoting it. Make sure to share the show with your friends on social media. Let everybody know about it. Get that phone number out there and have that Civic Media app ready to go, because we got the Civic Media Break into Spring Text to Win contest going on for two more days. We are going to have those keywords for you at 7, 11, 1, and 4. Did that off the top of my head. Had to make sure I had that right. We'll have a keyword for you to text to us in those hours. Be listening for that tomorrow. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow and Friday. We'll wrap it up on Friday. Michael, a couple other directions to go. Wanted to touch on what some of the things going on in the NFL that I thought were interesting, and just a couple of things coming out of the owners' meetings. You touched on the Tush push a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Yep.
That has been tabled. Yeah. So the Tush has been tabled. We'll see where that goes. I had to say it. I had to. Now remember, I'm a dad. I can get away with corny jokes. As long as you're a dad, you can get... No, I don't know if that actually counts.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a real thing.
And I guess I must have kids somewhere. I don't know.
The NFL is implementing Hawkeye system to measure first downs. They will still have the chain gang out there. But
okay,
good. It feels almost a little bit for show, and I'm fine with that. Because the chain gang gives you a measurement. They're still going to the eye. And the eye kind of is going to give you the overall. If the eye gives you one answer and the chain gang gives you another, chances are they're going with the eye.
I wish they would not call that the Hawkeye and call it like the Ranger or whatever. Because when the eyes of a Ranger are upon
that's perfect. It's all set up for him.
Yeah, and the down markers could look like Chuck Norris.
Yes. No. NFL, you missed the mark there. He's right. You missed the mark there. Plus, Seattle Seahawks are going to certainly take this over. Yep. I don't have any issues with this one. I mean, they're going to have 6 8K cameras for optical tracking of the ball's position. This gives you less wiggle room for human error, you know? So I don't have a problem with it. I did see some people making some arguments that this is, they should, you know, this is the same thing in baseball or what have you. Two very different sports. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be good in baseball, just that I don't like this simple thing that we do all the time where we try to, and I do it sometimes too, to be honest, where we try to, this sport and this sport, apples and oranges. We've talked about this with, front office of the Rafters. We talked about it with Coach, Paul with the River Kings. We even dealt with this in town for a while. I don't think anymore. I think most fans of these teams understand this. But there's a difference of the players that are playing for the Rafters and kids that are playing for the River Kings. And notice the terminology I use there.
Oh, yeah.
The Rafters, these guys are ready to go. They are waiting for that opportunity to get to AA, AAA, or something like that, and hit that major league diamond. The River Kings kids are still really building this, and they're still working on their craft so much. And not at all saying that they are not incredibly skilled players. You've seen them. Yep. They're great. But they are maybe a step before where your Rafter players are.
Yeah, the Rafter players are full college students, and that's what they are, hoping to make it big into the minor system, whether it's A, AA, AAA, whatever it is, because some of them will start in AA.
Right.
They're that good. I think Bryson Stott, I think he just went right to AAA, it seems.
Pretty much, yeah.
But then you have the River Kings, who are essentially, some of them are still attending high school.
Yeah.
And this is their step before going to college. And is it usually a D3 college? Yeah, but there's some D2. And there's, on a very rare occasion, on some of them D1, but some go internationally to play pro right away. You just never know.
Yeah. Another big announcement from the NFL that they are basically taking over Christmas. It is now the NFL presents Christmas Day to you. And I'm not talking about them having three games on Christmas Day. I mean that they are literally taking over Christmas. It is now officially NFL Christmas. They're just going to own this day, basically.
Yeah. Taken away from the NBA and the NHL.
Santa Claus will no longer be playing by Santa Claus anymore. Kris Kringle will not be Santa Claus anymore. It will now be Roger Goodell. I'm just reporting on this, everybody.
I read that earlier today, and I was like, at first it caught my attention, so I'm like, okay, who's playing those days?
Yeah,
because we're about a month away from the release, and that's usually when they start trickling out the international games. Through here and now, because I even remember middle April was right before the draft was when they started to announce those, or they didn't even have the schedule come out right when I'm sitting in a stupid turkey blind and I'm supposed to be hunting turkeys, but I'm looking at my phone trying to figure out what's going on here. So, man, I think it's cool, but at the same time, don't make it so you only can have it streaming or whatever it is. That I'm still very anti that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I get it almost on any other day and almost any other holiday.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving and Christmas, when you know you've got the families already home, you don't necessarily have to fight for their eyeballs. I know the NBA has basketball on, and they've usually, for me, the NBA was always about, Christmas Day was always about the NBA.
Yep.
Since I was a kid.
East Coast, West Coast, all day long.
Oh, man, I loved it. Now, football doing this, I get it. I'm not even going to bark about that part of it or anything. I am going to bark about the streaming part of it, though. Yep. I am going to bark about that. They know darn well that not their core listeners, their core watchers that got them where they are, most of them have not gone over to streaming, let alone Netflix, which is one of the ones in the streaming game that most people are running away from.
Yeah.
They are doing bad numbers right now. They're telling a lot of people one thing, but their subscription numbers and the word on the street and most of the reporting is telling you a completely other thing. So that's part of the reason why you're seeing these haymakers from Netflix right now with comedy specials, them buying a bunch of anime and kids shows, you're going to see other sporting things like this. I'm not 100% that we're going to get to this, and there's going to be a strong Netflix there for you. That's how these streaming services are going right now. They could be gone tomorrow, some of these companies. Netflix, not necessarily.
No.
But they are on that, they are playing with money that they don't actually have. They're shifting and moving things around and spending like they have it, but they don't have it. This is something that millionaires do all the time, but the chickens are coming home to roost more and more for these guys. I don't know where that ends for them. The whole thing about the NFL taking over Christmas Day and all this, fine, do it, but don't tell me that you care about families. don't tell me that you care about people or anything like that, because if you really did, be like, you know what? We care about families so much, we're not going to have football on Christmas Day. We want you to talk to your loved ones. You know Uncle Ed, who you haven't seen in forever? We want you to talk to him. Like, we don't need you on your phone. We don't need you. Right. You know, we got you every single day of the year, literally, even when there aren't even games being played, we have you. We're going to give you Christmas Day. Like, similar to when there was that rash of businesses that were like, oh, we're giving our employees Christmas Day off. Look at how great we are.
Or Thanksgiving Day off.
Please pat us on the back. Look how wonderful we are that we're actually being human.
But I will say this much to counter your point, that sports do bring families together.
Oh, that's
that,
true.
That's very, very true. If you get a house full of Bears fans, or I think you call that a den full of Bears fans, or a cage full of Lions fans,
or that too.
But I mean, no matter what your team is, if your entire family cheers for one singular stinking team, you're gonna get together and you're gonna watch it. Now, like my family, when my family was still good sized and we were all there, it wouldn't work. My grandpa was a Bears fan. Everyone else is a Packer fan, and that just wouldn't end well because you know who they're probably going to have playing on Christmas.
Yeah.
Or between Green Bay, Minnesota, or Detroit. And so it all works there. But
I know what you're saying.
But you get the point 100%. That sports brings families together, and that's one thing that I think they're banking on.
Some of my favorite memories involve sports in my family, certainly.
Mine too.
I think more so I'm getting at is the streaming part of it.
Yeah.
And most families that are sitting there, what are you watching? The TV, not the laptop. You're not pulling the laptop out and everybody's surrounding the laptop to go ahead and watch these games.
HDMI cable, my friend.
Yeah, that part comes into handy too. But here we are again with to me, the older audience not doing that. And they're sitting there on cable looking for these games. That, to me, doesn't take care of your core fan.
Right.
If you are good at business, you don't have to take just the biggest paycheck. Yep. And that's what the NFL has done for like 20 years. They've been on top for a long time, and they still, the highest bidder. No, the highest bidder is not always the right decision. We tell players that all the time, and we see smart players make that decision all the time. Hey, I could have taken more money here, but I went here because I have a better chance to win.
Yeah. I mean, J.J. Watt's one of those. Was it the money or was it wanting to win? You can't say J.J. Watt didn't want to win, but he didn't really put himself in positions on or into organizations that, were you going to win? Let's be honest here, buddy.
The Arizona thing was a tough one for me.
You see what I mean?
That was tough, yes. That was when he signed the extension
or
Miles
Houston, Garrett.
That's one thing. But exactly, yeah.
You want the money or do you want him? Well, he says he wants to win a title. Then why are you staying in Cleveland?
There's no way. Exactly. There's no way I'm going to try to say I know what's in Miles Garrett's head or heart. At the same time, you can't tell me you want to win and then you sign an extension in Cleveland where you know you're not going to win. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's not logical.
One guy I'd say was trying to win, and I don't care for the guy, Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
He bounced around trying to win a title.
Actually, pretty smart career for him.
Yeah,
it was. A pretty good job of maneuvering and doing that and everything. He never did win a title, though, did he?
I think he did.
Boy, he was on a team. No, you're right. He wasn't a star or anything like that, but he was on that.
He was at later in his career. Wasn't it L.A.?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because, I mean, he started in Detroit, right?
That's right. It was.
And he had to go through his early records or early contracts, but then he got through and he eventually won at least one ring.
I'm almost positive it was L.A. because I seem to remember Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue lining up together. That's insane. We will take a quick time out in a couple of minutes here. Before that, though, I just kind of wrapping a bow on this and everything with the NFL and streaming. I feel like you could have done this right. And it's not, you know what? It's not just the MLB, not just the NFL, because MLB, NBA, NHL, they're all doing this too. You know, you can split the atom on this one. You can keep the cable contracts and stream those out or stream certain games out or certain things. I really feel like there's such a better way of making this transition happen, and it didn't have to all be revolved around money. I understand that that's, you know, adult, that's being an adult, that's business 101 and all those things. But I can make an argument, I think, and a good one, that what you give up in money, you make up for in PR, and you can't put a price on good PR. What do you got?
Tampa Bay. It was LA.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay.
He played for the Rams in 18 when they should have, arguably against cheating Tom Brady. But then he joined cheating Tom Brady in Tampa, and they won it.
Levante David and some of that defense. That's a good defense.
That was a very good defense.
Yeah. Wanted to get to one other thing here. As long as we're talking NFL, and a report that came out recently about the most NFL stars pick the most overrated and underrated quarterbacks. I find this both interesting and meaningless at the same time.
It's interesting.
Because it is an ESPN poll that they polled 100 NFL players, anonymously, of course, and asked them to rank quarterbacks in several categories, and we're going to go through those for a second here. Now, this is an old. This is from two seasons ago. This is from a little bit ago, so all keep right. that in mind. But it is a little interesting because, I'm sorry. It's not. It's from last year. Okay. Because I saw Tom Brady's name pop up, but that was just them talking about previous lists.
Yeah.
So I apologize. So the top three QBs in this order, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
I'm surprised that Josh Allen wasn't there, but
I'm shocked by that.
All right.
And I'm a Burrow guy. I like Joe Burrow, yeah. But I'm a little shocked by that. I thought that was a little surprising. Regardless, I
got a joke about that. I'll save her off.
Okay, good. I've been looking forward to it. Rookie who will have the most successful career. So last season, they thought Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, Jaden Daniels by far and away having a much better rookie career than any quarterback out there. But the J.J. McCarthy thing, I don't blame them for that.
Right.
I will say it's always more fascinating to me the guys who we didn't see coming and how nobody saw Bo Nix necessarily. Not saying that nobody had Bo Nix being a good quarterback, but being such a reliable quarterback.
How good he was.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing his development. I'm looking forward to seeing whatever happens with him. Michael Penix, another one. This new thing we have in our older rookie. And seeing the 24, 25-year-old rookie and how they play. I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out and what kind of careers they can have. That's going to be interesting. Most overrated, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa. How Josh Allen can be overrated is when a man can fall down and get you half a first down, I don't know how that's overrated.
My question is, where's Dak Prescott?
Yeah, that's a good question because I almost feel like you could have named this list the Dak Prescott most overrated quarterback.
Yeah. And brought again, to you by.
I don't hate Dak Prescott.
Me either.
I don't hate him or anything, but I do think that for the amount of time they spend on the Cowboys, it's pretty hard to make the argument that he isn't overrated, especially has he won a Super Bowl. I mean,
here we go. Here's the I had to throw that
nicely
one
nicely done.
Where's the wins? Where's the wins?
Yeah, yeah. Most underrated, Brock Purdy and Matthew Stafford tied for this honor. Matthew Stafford's another one of these fascinating quarterbacks where some people have him overrated, some people have him underrated. Can he just be a great quarterback?
Yeah.
And maybe he's not a legend, but he's also not a slub.
No. Nope.
Maybe we didn't give him enough credit over here, but we gave him too much over here.
Where do you put Kirk Cousins?
Boy.
Good numbers, but...
There was a massive logjam behind as Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Jordan Love and Bryce Young all got in there under the underrated label.
Okay.
So they do think of Kirk Cousins as underrated. It's so hard to tell because of what he's saying about the injury last year and him coming off of an injury. But I never was a believer in Kirk Cousins.
Me either.
Again, not on the level of Stafford, but a similar thing of good quarterback. And hey, if that's all you got, it's not so bad to go into a gunfight with that guy. But if you could do better, you can go ahead and do better if you can do better.
Yeah.
And especially for the amount of money that guy made. Because I believe, two playoff wins? And that man has made over like $300 million in his career. Like, nobody has fleeced the NFL like Kirk Cousins. There are very few athletes in NFL history that have pulled a better hustle, a Ocean's 11 hustle job. If we find out at the end of this, Kirk Cousins does an interview and he's like, man, I never really even cared about any of this. I was just out there to make some money.
The 30 for 30 about him, when that comes out,
yeah,
you like that?
Yes, that's what it's called. That's you were on a roll on that, man. Real quick to wrap this up, biggest trash talkers went to Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Baker Mayfield for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I actually was a little surprised that it wasn't just Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at him. That's just kind of
that's who he is. That's how he's always been. He's like him, hate him. That's the way he is.
Especially
if you ever once in your life wore that ugly burnt orange and white.
This isn't going to be the most popular thing to some people out there, but honestly, one of my favorite NFL stories of the last 10, 15 years has been Baker Mayfield. And seeing the arc of his life, his career, his maturity, while also not really changing who he is, it's very difficult to do that as a person. We all know that because most of us are in our middle age, or not middle age, but we're over 25.
Yeah.
And if you're over 25, you know exactly what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. Of wanting to be that maybe rebellious spirit, that person that you are, but at the same time, I've got grays coming in here, man.
So do I. I got the skunk stripe right down my beard, man.
I don't know. How do I balance being myself and feeling like I've sold myself out? I'm not talking about selling out to other people, just to yourself.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield seems to have done that very well, bet on himself, and like the success he has had in Tampa Bay, whatever they win is
one word, stability.
Yeah, so giving him that,
he had the makings of Johnny Football written all over him, but he has been able to achieve the success that Johnny Football never did. And that's not a knock on Johnny, because they both have had their issues.
Yeah.
But Baker maybe hasn't had as bad of issues, but he's been able to rise above that and find that stability, and he's...
I feel like Johnny Manziel, the people, how they were so tired of that.
Yeah,
that bled into Baker Mayfield,
unjustly to a point,
very unjustly. Two human beings that are very different. They are very different. They both went to Southern universities. Okay,
nicely done.
That doesn't. That's it. That's the end of like comparisons. There's maybe some other ones there. And sure, yeah. I'm sure. But as far as like athlete wise, I never understood that, and I never understood how Cleveland could go out of their way to draft the kid, stand by him, and then the 1 second that they have a chance to move on from him, and before the Deshaun Watts or before that trade, they were talking about it the season beforehand. Talking about trying to get Watson and all these things. And you got a guy there. Just give him some stability, like you said. And you see what happens when you let him have that.
Cleveland did not let the stability happen for Baker or Manziel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cleveland let them down.
And that front office, not that fan base. I'm not talking about that. The fan base I care for. But that front office gets what they deserve. They get what they deserve. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR.
Chicken Wire?
Ugh, gets me every time, man. I love this song. Gotta let those keys get in there. Michael and James here for 5 more minutes. Wrap up the show for the day. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods for sponsoring this hour. We appreciate them. I have been very good, Michael. I haven't taken every minute of this show every day of April to talk about the NFL draft. But I'm warning you all, I'm going to be. We're going to be talking a lot more draft going forward here. And one of the big things, of course, draft needs. That's one of the top things that comes up. Something that I heard from Mina Kimes the other day, and I wholeheartedly admit she's my favorite person to hear talk football. She's intelligent, she is passionate, and she is also just weird sometimes, and that's a great
combo. Grown on me. At first I wasn't, just her style, I wasn't.
Oh yeah, I get you.
But that's when you're kind of new on a job, sometimes you're just not great at it.
The more comfortable she's gotten with it, I feel like the more she just has gotten, like, she takes a breath, and she just kind of just talks about this info, and you hear the real geek fan of the game.
Yes.
So she said something the other day that just really stood out to me. I'm like, if I could just talk to Brian Gutekunst, get crazy. Just do it for once. Just once. Get crazy. Go ahead and move up in the draft. Grab one of these big ends. Grab one of those top wide receivers or something like that. And I couldn't agree with her more. Now, I'm saying that as a sports fan and as somebody who would like to see this in our division. I admit that I'm not a Packer fan, so Packer fans are going to have a different take on this, possibly.
Yeah.
But as somebody who just loves good storylines, and honestly, would like to see them do something that they haven't done before, really, because they haven't moved up in the draft, but we're talking like one or two spots.
Yeah, nothing earth-shaking.
I'd love to see them crack the top 15. I'd like to see them do something like that. My only catch with what she's saying is, I don't know that player's available at those spots. outside of moving into the top eight. And, yeah. And then we're talking about way. I mean, outside of getting yourself the sweet deal of the century, I don't know that you can make the argument that it's worth it for any of these players in this draft. And I'm going like, when you get out of the top five, even maybe. Now, if you needed a running back, sure. Then moving up for a guy, one of these two guys, I'm certain, you know, I could see it. But as far as the ends go, after Abdul Carter, it's so many question marks. After Travis Hunter, there's so many question marks. And if we're being honest, as much as you know, Mel Kiper and some of these guys who I respect, love these guys, they got some injury problems that make me a little bit, I don't know if I want to move up for them. Yeah. If they fall to me, if I'm picking second or third and they fall to me, quote unquote, fall to me, oh sure, I'm taking them. Yeah, if I'm Cleveland or New York and I can't get Cam Ward or something, I'd be gonna be very happy taking Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. But moving up for one of these guys, I don't know if I can make that argument in my clubhouse. So then we're saying, well, then you just stand pat. And hey, if there's an opportunity to move up a spot or two, you do what the Packers have done in the past and move up. And what they have them picking is Jaden Higgins, a wide receiver out of Iowa State, 6'4", 215, had a nice college career, had a nice season, or had a nice pro game and everything. Yep. So
did Alan Lazard.
Yeah. I don't...
And I shouldn't compare the two different players, but yeah, you get my point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely get your point, man, because... My the status quo and kind of just doing enough just to get by. I don't know that does you any good. I'd almost rather see you grab a lineman. I'd almost on defense or offense and just kind of add. You can't have enough of either of those positions. I'd almost rather see that than just taking a swing at the next Christian Watson.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that that's worth that. I can make an argument taking a swing on defense more than you can on offense.
Yep.
I like the Mecole Hardman signing.
Yep.
I don't think that means you don't grab a receiver. I just don't know if you use your first pick. I'd almost rather see you trade back in that regard if you're going to go with a receiver.
Depends on who's there and who's not. And if you can get a good ransom, or not King's ransom, but a good positive thing for you moving late. Go ahead.
And I want to crash the NFL draft. I really do. I want to crash. I want to do a playmakers from there. I want to do so many darn things with this thing. And it's too close. It's right around the corner. But I will say, I do. It might not be our last chance. Green Bay does a good job with this. They're not going to be able to have a Super Bowl. So this is the next best thing, I think. And I could see it being brought back here again.
Every other year.
Yeah. Michael, thank you very much for hanging out, man.
See you, buddy.
Have a great night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.